2 Timothy chapter number 1, if you found your place and you're physically able, I would ask you to stand the reading of the reverence of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we was here a Wednesday night ago, and the Lord's been allowing us to do a set of series of messages, and this morning we're going to try to wind in that series and bring her to an end. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, look with us in verse number 6, if you would. The Bible says this: "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Can I say this to you this morning? Real quickly, I believe it would do us some good to shake some people up. Amen. And I'm not saying that such a way, but it would do us good, Brother Junior, if we could just grab some folks and say, "Wake up." Amen. It would do us some good. The Bible says this: "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." I'm so thankful this morning to be saved. Amen. And I'll say this, and I encourage you: don't be ashamed of what God's did for you. Don't be ashamed of what God's doing for you. And don't be ashamed to stand for the Lord. I'm interested this morning again in verse number 7, where the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we came into this text, and I'll say this to you this morning, as we came to this text, the other Wednesday night we begin to deal with the subject of fear. And I'll say this to you this morning: I know without a shadow of a doubt that the majority of our people here are afraid of something. I'm not going to ask you this morning how many of you are afraid of the dark, because some of you look around to see if somebody stuck their hand up. I'll tell you straightforward: I don't like the dark, amen? I don't like to not be able to see what's ahead of me. I don't care for that. If I was to ask this morning how many of you afraid of snakes, I could find out real quickly. If I drug one out, I would find new exits in every wall around here. Something funny happened this week at work, and I enjoy that. I'll share some comedy with you. I got there, and I'd sat in the car a little while, and I got a text message from one of my guys that said there was a snake at the door. Now, we're talking about in the middle of the concrete where those presses is running, and God bless Rusty's heart, he and another gentleman had walked right on top of that copperhead to go into the shop. And the next two that came, they seen it. Now, one of them ain't spiritual, but he really believes in Mark chapter 16, where it says they take up serpents and speak in new tongues. He went in the other direction, go la 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 la, and he began to speak in tongues. Amen. He got right at work, and one of the gentlemen took his foot and he stomped it, and they end up cutting his head off. But I imagine this morning, if some of you had opened the door and there'd been a snake there, you'd have went in the other direction. Some of you are afraid of that. Some of you are afraid of spiders. Some of you are afraid of different things, and things that worry you. And can I say this to you this morning? It is not healthy to live in a state of fear. Fear does something to our heart. It increases the rate, and it increases our blood pressure. And fear not only does that, but it brings on worry. And the Scripture teaches us that worry is a sin. It's not good for man to worry. It's not good to worry about tomorrow. It's not good to worry about the next day. Some of you today are afraid simply to go to sleep. Some of you are afraid what might happen to your family. Some of you are afraid what's going to happen to your children. Some of you are afraid what's going to happen to the economy. Some of you are afraid of what's happening in the Middle East. Might I say to you this morning, everything that's going on in the Middle East is lining up with the prophecy of God that Jesus is soon coming again. Some of you are afraid of what's going to happen
2 years from now and 3 years from now, listen to me, I don't know about what the future holds, but I thank God I know the one that holds the future. I may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I thank God that I know the God that is the God of tomorrow. I can't control what's going to happen in my health, but I cannot live in fear of what tomorrow may hold, because I know, listen to me, whether by grave or by the way of the air, I got victory in Christ Jesus this morning. Can I say to you this morning, the Bible teaches us that God did not give us the spirit of fear. You say, well, preacher, when I begin to think about fear, I think of different things. Can I say this to you? There's some of you this morning that are afraid of what man can do. I said this in our teenage class, and I want you to have an understanding of this. If you're friends with somebody, and that friend is all the time talking about somebody, and they're telling you about how awful they are, and they're just sharing their mind, Brother Junior, if you and I, listen, this will work real good. If me and you are friends, and all we do is talk about Brother Johnny, that's all we do is talk about how sorry Brother Johnny is. Junior's looking over like, please, Johnny, don't hurt me. But all we did was talk about Johnny and talk, me and Junior, every time I was around Junior, he brought up the conversation about what a disgrace Brother Johnny is. I promise you this, when Brother Johnny and Brother Junior get together, Brother Junior's going to bring up how sorry I am. You believe it or not, I'm not, listen to me, I'm not been in this thing 50 years, but I'm smart enough to know that the gossipers will gossip about you when you ain't there. Those same ones that rail on somebody else will rail on you in the first chance they get. Some of you this morning are afraid. Listen to me. Some of you are afraid of these things. The Bible teaches us, as the Apostle Paul was writing to the young Timothy, he said, I'm stirring you up into remembrance of the gift of God. Can I say to you this morning, there are some of you that are spiritually afraid. You're afraid of what it might do to you if you was to stand up and to tell that you love Jesus. You're scared of what it might do if you was to walk the aisle and get gloriously born again. You're afraid of what people would say. You're afraid of what the people might do. Some of you this morning are afraid of what people might think if they seen you walking out the door toting a King James Bible. Some of you are afraid. Listen, I thank God for this. There was some men that got over the fear this past Sunday when all the men gathered in the choir and had a men's choir. Some of the men that had always said that they could never sing made their way to a choir on Sunday morning. And whether you sung or not, you conquered a fear. Some of you are afraid of what it might do to stand up and teach. Some of you are afraid of what life might have, how God's plan might have in your life. If you was to step out on faith, you're afraid of what might be on the other side. Can I say this to you this morning? I've heard preachers preach this thought that having faith in God is like stepping out in utter darkness and not knowing what's out there. Can I say this to you? Brother, I'm not worried about stepping out that door. Brother O'Dean, I'm not worried about stepping out in the dark because my God is the God of light and that door of faith will not be dark. I'm not worried about stepping out on a limb for my God's a sure foundation, a solid rock on where I'm firmly planted. I'm thankful this morning I don't have to live in fear of what man can think, what man can do. I don't have to live in fear of what the Bible teaches, because I got a God of heaven that's the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul told Timothy, the spirit of fear. I want you to notice what the spirit of fear will do. Can I say this to you this morning? I was going to use Bobby, but he's really big. But I look at Bobby Bench. Bobby's like this tall. Robert came through shaking hands. He said, have you ever got a hold of a hand so big? No, I hadn't. That thing is like a bear paw. It wraps around you. Bobby's a big man. I want to say this to you. I believe in the bottom of my heart, in Bobby's younger days, I wouldn't want him mad at me. I wouldn't, Brother Chuck, I would not want Brother Bobby to be angry and coming after me. I begin to think about this. Some of us have a spirit of fear against men. If you'll go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 17, you'll see the fear of man. There was a man in Scripture by the name of Goliath. He was a large man, a giant during this day. And for 40 days, the children of Israel had came out and set themselves against the Philistines. And for 40 days, Goliath came out, the champion of war, and he told them to send out a man that was worthy for a fight. And can I say this to you this morning? For 40 days, the children of Israel lived in fear. Brother Junior, they couldn't do what they wanted to because they knew that Philistine was coming to kill them. They knew that whoever went out, if they lost the fight against this great man, that the children of Israel would go under bondage to the Philistines. And they knew there was fear. Their lives was, let me say this, their lives had enclosed around them due to their fear. Can I say to you this morning, if there's anybody I have ever seen that gets afraid, it's my mother. We went to the Wake Forest football game last year, and my mama said, I'll never ride with him again. I mean, we got in traffic, and I was driving like, you've got to be aggressive in traffic. There ain't nobody going to give you anything. And my mama, after Daddy and her got hit head on the small town of Clement, she has a fear of being in another wreck. My dad has a fear of being in another wreck. It's something that is implanted in the back of their mind that when they come up to an intersection, that's a T-intersection, that they're afraid somebody's going to run that stop sign. It's a fear. Well, mama didn't realize I was helping her conquer her fear. Mama's talking. We got fear. Can I say this to you this morning? It's not me who worries me when the roads are icy. It's everybody else. It's not me who worries me when there's a foot of snow on the highways. I worry about everybody else. And can I say this to you this morning? For a while, it took a while before mom and daddy would get back in a car and go anywhere. It took a while. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. After that four-wheeler wreck where I broke my pelvis, it took a while for me to conquer that fear and get back on it. It takes some time to be able to conquer those fears. And for 40 days, these children of Israel were isolated. There was no running down to McDonald's to get something to eat. You say, well, they didn't have McDonald's back during that time. I'm trying to bring this in present day tense so you'd understand. They were confined to their area. They were afraid to get out. Can I say this to you right now? Fear will destroy your social life. Fear will destroy the things in your life that you enjoy the most. Fear will keep you isolated to the point that you'll have a nervous breakdown. Fear will shave the years off of your life, setting and worrying about what could be when there's really nothing to worry about. Can I say this to you? The children of Israel for 40 days watched a man walk out in the valley and mock them and mock their God, and they lived in a state of fear. Can I say this to you this morning? Our churches have been mocked to the point that we have isolated ourselves into a church house on Sunday morning. Our lives have become so isolated that we're afraid on the job site to talk about a King of Glory. That we're afraid to walk through Walmart and share the tracks of a holy God. That we're afraid, listen to me, to the point of the society that we live in, that we're afraid to take the gospel outside. Can I say to you this morning, fear will shut our churches down. That's why the Apostle Paul told young Timothy to not be ashamed. Can I tell you this morning, there's nothing more than I like to see than somebody getting born again by the grace of God and to see a fire and to see zeal in their eyes that they can't wait to tell somebody about a Savior that came from glory and died on the old rugged cross regardless of what anybody would say. For 40 days, these men sat in fear. There was a young lad by the name of David. Many knows the story that Jesse had sent David down to the battle to carry cheese and to carry some supplies. The Bible teaches us that David had tended to the sheep, and David made his way down there to where Saul and the children of Israel were at. And then David in 1 Samuel 17 and 29 makes this statement, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David realized the fear that encamped Israel. David had seen these grown men, Brother Robert, that had went to battle, that had slew people, that one giant from a Philistine army had conquered them through fear. David went down there and his brothers pretty much said, "You're just trying to stir up trouble. You're just trying to get something going." The Bible teaches that David made the statement, "Is there not a cause?" Undoubtedly, they were some of them old religious leaders, Brother Junior, that said that young boy's lost his mind. That boy, he's got too much fire in him. He'll burn out one of these days. He'll get to a place one of these days where he won't be so excited to go preach. He'll be one of these days where he won't have the fire to go to church. He's just got a little bit of God right now, and he thinks he's able to conquer the world. You just wait. One of these days, he'll be afraid. The Bible teaches that Saul took his armor and placed it on David. The Bible teaches that David looked up at Saul and said, "I have not proved these things." David went down to the brook and picked up five small or smooth stones out of the brook. The Bible teaches that as Goliath came out and chanted for a warrior to come out and face him, as David came on the scene, he mocked him. Listen to me. He mocked him for who he was. He said, "You're going to send a dog, a child, out into battle." Goliath stood there so brave and patting on himself, and the weight of his brass and the weight of his spear that was more than David could bear. But David looked at Goliath and fear in the eyes, and he did not say, "You're big." He did not say, "You're too much for me." But he looked at fear and he looked at Goliath and he said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord." Can I say this to you this morning? Some of you had a fear about getting out of the bed and coming to Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. Some of you are visiting here for the first time this morning. And no doubt when you sat in your car and you looked at this building and you see people coming in, at the anxiety of coming to a new place, an anxiety of coming to a new people, the anxiety of being out of your comfort zone, and the fear that set in that might have said, "What might they say about me?" Can I say this to you this morning? Some of you are fighting Goliath just being here. Some of you this morning are looking at fear of what man is. Might I say this to you this morning? One of my favorite sayings is, some of the guys at work are scared to death that they're going to get fired. Some of them are so scared to death that when upper management comes, Brother Ricky, they get frantic. You know what my saying is? What's there to fear? They're not going to eat me. And if they do, I guarantee you, I ain't going to taste good and they'll spit me out. Some of you have a fear of man. Some of you have a fear of a giant that is in your life. Some of you this morning are afraid of what people might say. Some of you are afraid of simply the devil has input in your mind that those people are your enemies. Can I say this to you? In the book of Psalms chapter 56 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." In Psalms 56 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." Can I say this to you this morning? Some of you need to get over your fears of what man can say about you. Some of you need to get over your fears of what people think about you. Some need to get over their fears of what people will bring up against you. Might I say to you this morning, I put my trust in a holy God. I put my trust in the God of heaven. I'll not be afraid of what somebody walks out and says about me. I'll not be afraid, Brother Robert, to preach the way God lets me preach. And because of what flesh may do to me, hey, there's coming a time. Hey, listen, there's coming a time you'll pay a price for preaching. Mark her down. There's coming a time there'll come a price for serving. I'll say this to you this morning. I'll not fear what flesh can do to me. You say, why is that? It's God in heaven who gives life and God who takes life. It's God in heaven who blesses me and gives to me, not what man. You say, well, preacher, you don't know them down on the job site. They've been talking about me. They've been gossiping about me. And a preacher, they just start all these rumors. I'm afraid. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you. I've got a lot of rumors about me. I've got a lot. I'm a mean preacher. Did y'all know that? I run people off. I beat people up. I'm just so angry. Robert's looking at me. You just keep on, Robert, and you'll find out. No, I'm teasing. I've had rumors started about me that I've done people wrong. I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. And you know what's amazing? Is they'll go out there and tell everybody else, but they won't come talk to me. You know what's amazing to me? Is they'll go to everybody else and tell everybody else about me, but they won't come talk to me. They won't come and sit down in my office. And when you begin to ask them, I heard this, where did it come from? And they said, I can't tell you, that's in confidence. Can I tell you this? They're cowards. And what I have found out is all those that want to talk, all those that want to gossip, if they really looked at their own track record, the story would be told. I like what Miss Claudia said the other day. She said, preacher, I've agreed with you for 9 years, but this one time I disagree with you. Old Granny was fired up. She came to the back door, had that crooked finger that Timmy had talked about years that would beat the children of Rhonda and keep them straight. Had that crooked finger right in my face, Junior. And I said, well, Miss Claudia, maybe we can solve this. She said, preacher, you need to get it right. And I thought, dear Lord, I have done upset Granny. She going to beat me right here with the belt like them boys used to tell me she'd do to them youngins in Rhonda that was mean. And she said, preacher, you said to every story there's two sides. I disagree. She said, there's three sides. I said, well, you're right, Miss Claudia. I said, yours, mine, and God. She said, no, preacher. She said, yours, mine, and the truth. Which is God. Can I say this to you? There's three sides to every story. You may just be hearing one side of what somebody said. You might be hearing the other side of what's said. But somewhere in the very midst of all those lies is the very truth that God in heaven knows about and the very truth that will set you free. Hey, can I say this to you this morning? Fear not what man can do, for a God in heaven of his size and a God of that magnitude, I promise you, he'll conquer those who are in your way. I'll not fear what man can do. Number two this morning, I'll not fear what the devil can do. I'll not fear what the devil can do. You say, preacher, I'd look at the devil and I shimmer in my place. The devil could take my family out. The devil could do this and the devil could do that. You're exactly right. We could be living just like Job this morning, knowing the fact that the devil could destroy your family, knowing that the devil could destroy your testimony, knowing, Brother Junior, that the devil could place his hands upon us and cause sores come up all of our body. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I imagine this morning everybody fears a snake. Everybody here, it's been said as we're getting ready to decorate for Bible school and we've got a jungle theme, that you can bring any type of stuffed animal in, but don't you dare bring a snake in here. I'm amazed. Listen to me. I'm amazed. You go to some of these churches and boy, they just shout them down. Rhonda, every now and then, it seems like God will just let us shout. And so I got to thinking about this, Rusty. If I was to tie a couple of snakes to a string and drag them up the aisles over here, I believe we'd have a shout them out service. Don't you? We're afraid of a snake. Listen, Brother Jason, when Brooklyn last year at this time, Daddy had a snake and a black snake, and Daddy and Mama always tell you not to kill a black snake, to keep the other snakes away. Listen, I'll say this. I don't care if it's black, green, copper, diamondback, rattler, water, or whatever. They're all good when they're dead. I really don't care. But we was at Mom and Daddy's house, and Daddy said he kept having this black snake that would come back. And little Brooklyn went out there, and she'd come back. She didn't know necessarily what a snake was, what a snake was supposed to do, but she came back in and said, "Papa, the snake's back." We went out there, and sure enough, right between Mom and Daddy's cars, Brother Odin, there, that black snake was stretched out. Brooklyn, I didn't have to instill fear in her. I didn't have to tell her to stay away. There was something about that snake, Rusty, that she stayed away from. I watched my dad. Daddy, listen, if y'all ever want a snake handling preacher, you can have Daddy. I'm out of here. Daddy reached down, grabbed that black snake by the tail, and Rusty, he towed him out of the yard and threw him back out in the field. It wasn't just an hour or so. Hear that devil come back. I let Daddy. Daddy said, "Oh, we ain't going to kill him. He's a good snake." No, he ain't no good. Daddy picked that snake up again and towed him back off. Jeff is in the driveway in the same place, about 4.5 foot. I filmed him on camera picking that snake up. He towed it up, threw it back up in the field. I told Daddy, I said, "If he comes back again, I'm dealing with it." It wasn't an hour or so went by. Looked right back up there in the driveway. There that old devil was again. He didn't get the opportunity to leave whole this time. He got a shovel behind the head and he ain't come back. You say, "Preacher, isn't it amazing that a child who's never seen a snake yet fears a snake? Isn't it amazing you can be having a normal day, but when you see the snake, your outlook changes on the day? You get skittish. After you have your first run-in with snake during the year, every time you're in the woods and the yard, you begin to scan to see if there's any snakes." Can I get a witness? Y'all with me? We preaching all right? Isn't it amazing that when we see somebody handling a snake, we say, "They ain't right"? Amen. Y'all ain't going to help me, I'll help myself. You say, "Well, preacher, glory to God, you ought to be like those Pentecostals that take up snakes in Mark chapter 16. "Oh, but I do, on the end of a hoe or a shovel. I'll take them up and get rid of them. And I tell you what works even better, a pistol to the back of the head takes care right of them, Brother Ricky. But I don't like them." Don't you reckon it has something to do with going back to Genesis chapter number 3 when the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field? The serpent was more shy and mischievous and brought harm to God's plan in the Garden of Eden. And he said, "Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and all thy days of thy life thou shalt eat dust." Don't you reckon as Adam's sin was passed on to mankind, that somewhere in those genetics, the fear of the servant has been passed on?
You're right.
Can I say to you this morning, Miss Zelamay will tell you the snake is of the devil. Amen. Isn't it amazing this morning when we think of the serpent, we automatically imagine a snake? Isn't it amazing this morning that every time that we see a snake, our mind races to the devil? Can I say this to you this morning? We may be like the book of Job, but I'll say this, glory to God, they ain't nothing can come my way. They ain't nothing that come round the Baptist Tabernacle's way. They ain't nothing that can come your way, except it goes by the throne room of God, except God permits the storms come upon your life. I'm thankful this morning, even the devils fear and tremble the name of Jesus. I'm thankful this morning that in Revelation chapter number 9, that serpent, that devil is cast into the lake of fire.
Amen. Yes.
Can I say this to you this morning? I'll not fear the devil, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand what it's like facing the devil. Can I tell you, I've never seen a day in an age that we live in when the devil is running as prominent as he is, when the devil's destroying preachers' testimonies, destroying churches and emptying the pews. I've never seen a day when the devil's working to get more families out than the church is trying to get in. I've never seen a day when our society is as wicked as it is. But I'm telling you this morning, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a victor through Christ Jesus, as he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. Satan couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't keep him. And thank God he's on the right hand this morning.
Amen.
Can I say this to you? And I'm hurrying. Number three this morning, there's one last thing that we fear. Can I say to you this morning, and I'm being as quick as I can, I didn't know I was going to preach this long. But I'll say this, there is one fear that you and I are all afraid of. You say, preacher, what is that? It's the fear of death. I've heard it said by preachers in pulpits, and I've heard it said in this pulpit. Bless God, I'm ready to go right now. I want to ask you something. If they're ready to go right now, why is it, Brother Tim, when they get a little chest pain, they'll call 911 and think they're having a heart attack? Why is it, Brother Paul, when they start having a little sniffles and they can't breathe good and they start getting tender, Miss Shirlina, they'll flood the doctor's offices? Why is it when they get in a car wreck, Brother Kenny, and they're in pain and anguish, they're begging somebody to help them? You say, well, preacher, I wouldn't be that way. Can I tell you something? Fear is fine and well till it's your snake and your foot. Fear is fine and well as long as it's somebody else and their problems. Well, preacher, bless God, I'm ready to go right now. No, I understand what you mean. You're spiritually saved. You understand the Scripture, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You understand the Scripture, it's appointed once for man to die, and after this, the judgment. You understand that. But can I say to you this morning, in the heart of every man and in the heart of every woman, little boy or little girl, there is a fear of death. You'll be right honest this morning. It makes you uncomfortable. If you'd be right honest this morning, going to the funeral home makes you uncomfortable. If you'd be right honest this morning, seeing a casket makes you uncomfortable. I've noticed this. I don't understand it. But if somebody dies, why is there like a 5-hour wait at the funeral home? Now, I'm just saying, can't we go to Speedy Chef and socialize? Y'all all right? Listen to me. When you go to the funeral home and you spend 45 minutes talking to somebody, I want to tell you something. And everyone that I always hear, well, I ain't seen you in forever. Well, don't wait until somebody dies to see them. Go visit them. You say, well, preacher, does it make you uncomfortable in the funeral home? I don't know anybody who wants to hang out with dead things. I just don't know, understand why somebody could get comfortable and have a family reunion at a funeral home. Don't understand that. I don't enjoy standing in line in the funeral home. Dwight Eisenhower down at Mount Calvary tickled me to death one night. Dwight is just who he is. And Dwight just knows some things and don't know some things. He went to see somebody at the funeral home, and there was a line down at Elkin coming out. And I hate to say this, but I've got to know those at Elkin Funeral Service by first name. And Keith Buster was telling me about it. Dwight had already told me about it. Dwight thought he did a good thing. He had no idea what he'd done. Dwight walked into the funeral home that night. There was a line way out there. He waited a few minutes. Line wasn't moving. So Dwight started going through saying, pardon me, pardon me, pardon me, excuse me. I've got to go to church. Went right to the front of the line, to the individual, the family he knew. He said, I'm so sorry, but I ain't got time to wait. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Cut everybody off. And he went back out. Said there was more people talked about Dwight that night after he left than they did the person that was dead. Did you see that man that just cut everybody off through here? I don't enjoy hanging out at the funeral home. I don't enjoy it. Listen, if we enjoy that death that much, how come they thought the demoniac of Gadara was crazy in his head for hanging out in the tombs? I don't enjoy it. Well, you say, preacher, bless God, I'm ready to go right now. Good. Don't go to the doctor next time you feel sick. Good. Don't go to the hospital next time you feel a little sharp pain in your chest. Just say, if it's time for me to go, go. You say, well, preacher, there is fear. Can I say to you this morning, I've not ever met a man or a woman that wants to leave their family on this side of glory. I've not ever seen a man that's ready to leave his children and to leave his wife and to leave all that behind. Honey, I'm telling you, there's something in the flesh that holds us here. We've never been able to talk to somebody that's died. I had to know what it feels like. I had to know, Brother Robert, what we're going to feel. I had to know what it's going to be like. But I believe this without a shadow of a doubt. I truly believe that. When I close my eyes here, I'll open them in the presence of Almighty God there. I believe in my heart that for a child of God, you begin to see the spiritual things. As Stephen looked to the heavens, he's seen Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He's seen him standing, welcoming him home. Can I say this to you? As Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, for since by man had came by death, a man came also by the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Can I say this to you this morning? As a born again child of God, I don't fear what's on the other side. But I'll tell you this morning, if you're lost, you ought to be scared to death what lays on the other side. The Bible not only teaches me that, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55, he quotes the psalmist David and says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Preacher, I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid I'll die and go to hell this morning. Can I say this to you? Through Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid. I truly believe this morning for a child that's been born again. Listen to me, it's been birthed into the family of God. Though I fear what death might be like, I don't fear the time that God calls me home. Though we're afraid of what pain we may feel on the fleshly sense, my spirit is ready. Can I say to you this morning, there are other things in this life that we fear. But can I say to you this morning, we're not to have the spirit of fear, but we're to have the spirit of power. Listen to me, the church is the most powerful weapon that man's got. If the born-again children of God would come together and get right with God, amen, the church would be unstoppable in the movement. Can I tell you, in your own personal life, you're not to have the spirit of defeat. You're not to have the spirit of failing. Some of you fear a failure this morning. You're afraid you're going to let somebody down. Can I say this to you? By fearing that you're letting somebody down, you've already let them down. People look at the preacher and they say, the preacher's got it all figured out. People come to me with questions. People come to me looking for answers. I can't give it to them. I'm afraid, listen to me, I'm afraid at some moment in time I'm going to let some of Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle down. But you know what, Brother Robert? I don't let the fear of failure keep me going forward. I don't let the fear of what somebody's going to say. Listen to me, my life is an open book. I've been faithful to what I've tried to do. I'm not afraid of what somebody's going to say to me. You say, why is that? Because God might just send somebody else in. Just stay faithful. I'm not fear of what the devil can do. You say, preacher, you need to be afraid. Preacher, the devil can destroy everything you've seen God do. You're right, he sure can. But I'm trusting in somebody and I put my faith that God's not going to let me down. Preacher, are you afraid to die? No, you see, I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'll go. But I just don't want to see my girl grow up without a daddy. I don't want to see her life as she grows up not get to be a part of that, Brother Junior. Not get to see who she grows up and marries one day. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of what would happen to my family. Not afraid of what's on the other side, just afraid of what would happen here. Say, preacher, what do I need to do? Can I say this to you this morning as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Miss Jody comes?